to My Guys in the Desert. Danielle Alvari here at the VSiN Circus Studio. Today we have Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds at the South Point Sportsbook. And lots to discuss, lots of rumors, lots of things flying around in the NFL sphere today. Deshaun Watson tweeted today, "Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it." But then Diana Rossini of ESPN tweeted that Houston continues to avoid conversations with teams in regards to Deshaun Watson. They're refusing to trade their franchise quarterback. Then Dan Graziano of ESPN said that per sources, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson met with the new Texans head coach, David Culley, last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated that he wants to be traded and told Culley he has no intention of playing for the Texans again. No change from him there. What do you think, Wes? Is Deshaun Watson going anywhere? Who's going to blink first here?
I don't think he's going anywhere at this standpoint. I mean, they don't have to trade him. They don't have to accommodate the player here. And look, he signed a long-term deal. Obviously, Houston, in terms of running their organization, has not lived up to their end of the bargain. Jack Easterby kind of is considered the villain amongst all the people that follow this team, one of their main executives. So I'm not convinced that he's going to be going anywhere. And I wonder how many teams are going to be able to put the package together. I mean, a lot of teams couldn't get it done for Matthew Stafford. So what are they going to do to get it done for Deshaun Watson? So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to be in H-Town this season.
Yeah, I've taken the opposite view of most people on this story, Danielle. I think he should be going somewhere. If the player doesn't want to be there, if Watson wants a trade, the Texans should trade him. They have not been close to winning a Super Bowl with him. So considering what you can get in return by trading Deshaun Watson, I think you have to do it. Now, you don't have to do it right now because you're going to have a lot of teams competing for Deshaun Watson. You're going to have competing bids, and that's what you want when you're a seller. And I believe that eventually the Texans will drag this out, and they're going to get one heck of an offer at some point before the NFL draft. And they've got to rebuild, and this is a perfect opportunity to do it. If Deshaun Watson says, "I don't want to play there," eventually you will have to trade him. And I think it could be a good thing for the Texans in the end. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, you're crazy to trade a guy that talented." You haven't won much with him. So why not rebuild and see what you can get for him, which is going to be a lot.
Do they lose any of their leverage by him being so outspoken about wanting to leave?
Well, that's why the Texans are pretending to have their heels dug in here and saying, "We're not going to trade him."
Right.
Because you're trying to drive up the price. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving over to another quarterback in the league. This one has not demanded a trade, but he has made it known that he is amenable to one. Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. Has not demanded a trade, according to his agent, Mark Rogers. But he told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if there were a trade considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, or the Bears. Is Russell Wilson going anywhere, Wes?
Could be. I mean, we talked about this on Tuesday's show, that what would be the asking price for him. And we kind of both felt that three first rounders maybe not be all that unreasonable for Russell Wilson, considering Matt Stafford, who not all his fault, but has never won a playoff game. And they got two first round picks in Detroit for Matt Stafford. So you got a Super Bowl quarterback that's still relatively young and in his prime, that you would think three first round picks would be enough. But if I were to go by those four teams in order of probability, if he does get traded from Seattle, I would say Bears most likely number one. I would go Raiders two, Saints three, Cowboys four. I think Cowboys are going to work this out with Dak, so I don't see that happening. Sean Payton seems wanting to make this Taysom Hill thing work, so Bears and Raiders I think would be the most likely of those two.
Why do you have the Bears number one?
Because I think that they've been the most desperate, and they've been trying to get they were looking at Carson Wentz. They were kicking the tires on Matt Stafford. I think that they probably have the most pressing need at the position. There's starting to be pressure on Nagy, starting to be pressure on Ryan Pace there in Chicago. So I would think that would be the most likely of the four.
Yeah, it's a strange list that Russell Wilson put out there, because the Cowboys seem unlikely, considering that they're going to tag Dak, you would think. The Saints, I believe, makes sense. I don't know why the Bears are necessarily on the list. Russell Wilson, you're dying to play for Matt Nagy? Seriously.
Well, if he wants to come, let him come if you're the Bears.
The Jets are conspicuous by their absence there, because I really believe the Jets would bend over backwards to make the Seahawks a great offer for Russell Wilson. That's a franchise changer for the Jets. So I was a little bit surprised not to see them on there. A lot to talk about, though. It's not going to happen anytime soon.
That's right. Stick with us. More coming up right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome into My Guys in the Desert. We're kicking off hour one right here. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circa Studio. We have Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds in today at the South Point Sportsbook. Loaded show for you. First up, we'll get to hear from Kenny White, professional handicapper. At the top of the next hour, you know we're going to get to see Mike Palm, Derek Stevens here in the Circa Studio. And later on in the show, Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet. Matt?
All right, Danielle, I don't know if you heard this, but Wes Reynolds has demanded a trade, and he's singled out four places he will work aside from VSiN: ESPN, Taco Bell, Wiener Schnitzel, and McDonald's. Why are the Bears on the list with Russell Wilson?
I have no idea, but they are nevertheless. And I think if you can put the package together, if you're right. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and company, obviously you'll welcome him to the Windy City.
Well, the Bears are desperate. You're right about that. So, and they've made some bad trades. So if you're looking to make a trade and you want to rip a team off, you probably want to call up the Bears, because that's a team you can get the best of and a deal with. All right. We'll talk more NFL later in the show. Kenny White's going to join us here in about 5 minutes to break down some of his top college hoops plays tonight. Wes, it's a big night in college basketball, and the Big Ten is where the best action is. We're going to start with Iowa, Michigan. And yesterday I noticed Circus Sports opened this line, Michigan -3, which I thought was really cheap. What are we seeing right now, and which side do you like in this game?
It's not as cheap now. Now it's been driven up to 5.5. You got the feeling that people are still going to bet Michigan, even at the top of the market. So you could see 6 here within the next couple hours before tip time at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. And I do kind of like this Iowa side to go against the money. Look, I've said that I don't believe Iowa is a Final Four team. I mean, it all depends on the draw, but I still don't. I don't know if their defense is going to hold up to make a run in the NCAA tournament. They just seem like maybe that 3 seed that gets knocked out in the second round by a 6 seed. That said, I do kind of like them in the spot tonight. I think they've kind of figured some things out. They've won 4 in a row. The defense, actually, I don't know if it's fixed, but it's better than it was. They've held every opponent under 70 points the last 4 games. Wins over Rutgers, at Michigan State, at Wisconsin, Penn State at home. So I think if you're laying Michigan here, you are really laying them at the top of the market. But I would be waiting if I like the Iowa side, and I do. I would like to see 6 here potentially before tip-off.
I laid a cheap price with Michigan when that line opened yesterday. All right, on Ken Palm's site, Ken Pomeroy has Michigan #6 in the nation in adjusted offense and #12 in defense. That's the big difference between these teams. Iowa's #1 in the nation in offense, but #75 in defense. We saw Iowa #108 recently, so the Hawkeyes' number has improved dramatically here in the past few weeks in adjusted defense from 108 in the country to 75. Is Iowa good enough defensively to beat this Michigan team on the road? Now, I believe a lot of it boils down to whether or not the Hawkeyes are hot from three. If they're hot from three, they can stay in this game with a shot to win it. If they're not hot from three, and Michigan does defend the three-point line, Michigan defends well all over the court, Iowa's going to have a lot of trouble.
Iowa has gotten C.J. Frederick back, so that gives them another shooter. If you look at these two teams last year, they split home and home. Iowa won by 7 at home, lost by 12 in Chrysler Arena. So I thought this line from the cheap price, I agree with what you did laying it at 3, but at this standpoint, I would be on the Hawkeyes here, and I may just end up doing that.
All right, I said 2 games in the Big Ten tonight, and actually there's more than that, but the second one that's going to get all the attention is Michigan State and Ohio State. And the Spartans, we've said this, they desperately needed a win against Illinois a couple days ago, and they got it. And they got to put together as many quality wins as they can here before the tournament. This is a late game tonight of the two in the Big Ten. Ohio State, a 3.5-point favorite on the road, total of 144.5. So you see a lower total in this game by about 10 points. But could you back the Spartans again, Wes? You and I backed Michigan State +7 against Illinois 2 days ago. We got there easily with an outright win. We're getting a lot less value on the number here against Ohio State.
We are, and I did take 4.5. There's still some fours out there in the market, even some 3.5s. Look, I'm going to keep riding this team. I know this is 3 games in 6 days for this bunch, but I'm going to keep riding the Spartans here in the spot. Maybe Ohio State a little hungover from losing that game late against Michigan at home, and sometimes that can affect you next time out. So, look, Michigan State trying to work their way back into the tournament. They look like they figured a little bit something out, at least defensively.
All right, let's find out what Kenny White thinks about one of those games tonight. He's with us almost every Thursday, sports analyst at KennyWhiteSports.com, also Don Best. And you can follow him on Twitter at KWhiteyVegas. Kenny, we're talking about the Iowa-Michigan game tonight, which is obviously big one in the Big Ten. Wes took a side here. Wes and I each have the opposite sides at different numbers. I've got a cheap price on Michigan at 3. He's going to take an inflated price with Iowa. He's going to take the points. You're going to play the total, right?
I'm going to play the total, and I'm going to hope all three of us win. And that would be nice. You guys go ahead and middle the game. And you know what? If it falls on my number, you do. I made Michigan 5 in the game. But I made this total 162. Iowa still fastest team in the country, one of the faster teams in the country, but number one offensive efficiency, number 75 on defense. That's a big difference. We just saw Michigan against Ohio State up and down, and Ohio State plays slow. But the faster teams in the conference, both these teams have been scoring against. I just see an offensive explosion. I love Michigan's offense. Mike Smith, the point guard, I don't think gets enough credit. I think he's been a big difference maker in this offense, and they're a solid team. Michigan is the real deal, and Iowa is as well with Luka Garza mentioning Frederick. They just got so many weapons, though. The McCaffrey boys can shoot it. They can score. They just have problems stopping people. We all know that. It's not a hidden secret. So I'm over 154.5.
Kenny, sticking in the Big Ten here, Nebraska and Illinois, we've obviously seen a drop from the opener of 17, 16.5, now down to 13 with Ayo Dosunmu not going to go tonight for the Illini. Last time these two teams played in Lincoln, Illinois was life and death to kind of hang on and eventually got the win in overtime. Nebraska, not a very good team, but they do compete pretty much every night. Value has obviously dropped here. Would you still recommend Nebraska at this spot?
I actually lean a little bit to Nebraska. Gudasumo is such a great player. He's one of the top 10 players in college basketball. I think you could have been a late first rounder, early second rounder in the draft, NBA draft, if they have 2 rounds anymore. And I don't even know if they have 2 rounds anymore, but that's where I would have placed him last year. He decided to come back to school. So glad he did. As Cockburn did too. I respect coaches who changed their philosophies and how they do things. Brad Underwood completely changed how he did things. He was going to be a pressure defense, up-tempo offense. He wanted to score 100 points a night, and it was really about that up-tempo offense. And he found out it just didn't work in the Big Ten. He changed his philosophies around. We're going to play a more methodical offense. We're going to work in half court, and we're going to really get defensive here. We're not going to try to let teams get easy baskets. Forget about the pressure. Pack it in. Make teams earn their points. And they've turned it around. Now they're number 5 in the country. They're solid defensive. You mentioned IU is out tonight. That's a 6-point drop off on their power rating, but it's also about a 4.5-point drop off on their production offensively. So their last game out, they allowed 81 against Michigan State. Underwood's not going to be happy with that. They allowed 66 or less in 3 of their 4 before that. That's more like it. Nebraska can't score. They're number 216 in offense, but their defense has been strong, number 45 in the country. So Nebraska has played solid D, so yeah, I'm under the total here.
Hey, we're talking about Ayo Dosunmu, who's out with a broken nose tonight for the Illini. Kenny, the highest I saw that number last night anywhere was 17. Did you see a higher number?
No, I did not, and wish I would have known last night. I would have loved to have taken. I would have taken 16 or probably 15.5 with Nebraska in this game. Obviously, the lower scoring game, I think points will be at a premium. Mm-hmm. And the Illini could have a little bit of a letdown here, knowing they're playing Nebraska. They've got a couple really big games coming up. I think they got 3 teams in the top 10 their last 3 games of the season.
Wes, when I got this information last night, the number I got was 15.5. So somebody got it before me, because that was the best number I could find out there, was plus 15.5 on Nebraska. When did you find out DeSumo was going to be out?
This morning, late start for me. So I saw it at about 14 and then gradually coming down to as low as 13. A little buyback at that spot on Illinois here. But look, Nebraska has been competitive of late, except for that game against Purdue. They've been in a lot of these games. So, you know, a bad team that's staying with the season, that's what you're looking for if you're going to take one of these teams.
The Illini had to go to overtime to beat the Cornhuskers in the Lincoln. Don't forget that a couple weeks ago. So I like the 15.5. Now it's down a couple points at 13.5. Kenny, any thoughts on the other Big Ten game we talked about right before you came on, Ohio State, Michigan State, the Spartans? You can still grab four if you like the dog side out there. And Michigan State's picked up a couple big wins here in the past week at Indiana and at home against Illinois. The Buckeyes going to East Lansing tonight, laying a few points. I'm not sure there's enough line value here to get me involved on Michigan State tonight, but any thoughts from you on the Buckeyes and Spartans?
Yeah, in Tom Izzo, I trust, and I always will. His problem this year, he doesn't have that big man in the middle to be the rim protector that he normally has, and be that guy that just eats up the glass. They just haven't had that. So they haven't been the Michigan State of we've seen in the past, even though they're extremely talented. This is a really good basketball team. So I'm going to trust them tonight. Just Ohio State coming off the Michigan game. That was such a big game.
Yep.
Even though they're coming off a loss, they're coming off a game they put their entire heart into, and now they're playing Michigan State. Another big game for them, but not as big as the last one.
Wes, you and I talked about this a couple days ago. I kind of like the fact that Tom Izzo, with no Foster lawyer, was going to go to a small ball approach with Joshua Langford kind of in that point guard playmaker role. And Izzo was so upbeat after the win at Indiana that you and I both saw a buy sign on the Spartans against Illinois. So it sounds like you and Kenny are going to keep buying on the Spartans tonight.
Yeah, and I like that move of Langford to point guard. Mm-hmm. Obviously, get Aaron Henry shots, and I think that that's what they want to do. He's their best offensive threat, and they've got a little bit of depth with Rocket Watts running the point. But Kenny's white in terms of not having that big guy this year because Joey Hauser sometimes can be a little bit of a liability defensively. So when they kind of took him off the floor for a little spell against Indiana on Saturday, that's when they made their run right back in the game.
You're being nice when you're saying he's a defensive liability. I'm not sure Hauser could guard you off the pick.
Might be able to guard me.
Okay, probably could. Kenny, how about Pac-12 tonight, USC and Colorado? I think you're taking the 3 with the Trojans in Boulder, right?
Yeah, I got some revenge built in. They lost 72-62 at home January 31st. Colorado's an outstanding team. I love them. But USC is a slightly better basketball team. Right now in the conference, they're number one offensively and defensively, the Trojans are. Colorado's right behind, number 3 on offense, number 2 on defense. As I said, they're very solid. But I'll take Andy Enfield's team. I really like the way this Evan Mobley kid is a sensational player. He's tremendous, and he just continues to get better. So, yeah, I'll take the 19th-ranked team getting points here in this game, even though that's usually – a bet against scenario when you see the team that's unranked laying points against a ranked team.
Mm-hmm.
The revenge factor has me on the Trojans.
All right. What happened to the Trojans in that blowout loss at home to Arizona?
I don't have any idea. You know, it's just, you know, hey, 25% of all games there's a fluke outcome.
Right.
It's that high. One out of every 4 games, you cannot explain why it happened.
All right, we'll try to explain what you think is going to happen tonight in Pacific and St. Mary's. The Gales are 6-point favorites. Total is really low here, Kenny, 122 to 123 in that range.
Yeah, it should be because both teams play so slow. Pacific, number 295 in pace. St. Mary's this year, I don't know what Randy Bennett did. I mean, his teams are always, like, offensively ranked in the top 40. And defensively, they were ranked like 120 to 150 every year, it seemed like. They play very slow, but they were such great offensive teams. This is the first Randy Bennett team I've seen that can't score, they can't shoot, but they're a top 40 defense for the first time. If he had some of that offense, he'd have a chance to compete against the Zags. This one, again, both teams far better defensively than they are on offense. Both teams extremely slow. Their scores and averages look a little higher because this conference has been extremely fast this year. These are the only 2 really slow-paced teams. Everybody else in the conference runs. So you get the two slowest guys together. I'm expecting under. If there was a pace number of possessions per team, I would go under 60 tonight in this game.
All right. The best number you can find out there if you want to play that game under is 123 right now. I see that at a couple of spots. Kenny, not afraid to play under a low number. Follow him at KWhiteyVegas on Twitter, KennyWhiteSports.com. Kenny, before I let you go quickly, have you been betting or handicapping these FCS college football games in the spring? We're into basically the second week here.
Yeah, I've had some success in it so far. I had a lot of these teams I've had done because of my college magazine. They weren't going to be in the magazine, but I did the work on them last year because they could play an FBS team. So I needed to know how good they were. So I did have a power rating going in, but have had to go back, one by one and do each team over again. So it takes a lot of time when college basketball is going on. It's almost an impossible thing to do. But yeah, I'm following it. I'm getting close. Maybe I could talk about some of the games next weekend, but Tarleton State is a team to watch. I had them the first week and got unlucky and lost. Had them this past week and they blew out New Mexico State.
Yeah, 43-17, Tarleton State over New Mexico State. Thanks, Kenny. Good luck tonight. Thanks, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Kenny White, what about you, Wes, here in the last 40 seconds or so? Any FCS plays that you have circled this week?
I have not played any of these yet, just kind of a difficult time of the year. But, I'm glad somebody's doing well. Most of the guys that we know, though, that have been betting FCS had a rough first go of it.
Yeah, it was a rough first week for a lot of bettors. I thought a lot of guys were just kind of guessing at games. The more you see teams play, the more information you get.
Well, and Kenny has these guys power rated pretty much all year round.
I know Brad Powers is going to be on with Mitch and Paul tomorrow morning on Follow the Money to talk college football. So tune in for that on the Follow the Money show Friday morning. Quick break here. We come back. What happened to the Lakers last night? We will explain that next.
Into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
Wes, what happened to the Lakers last night? You look at the three-point column, and I think that explains a lot of it. Utah Jazz, 22 for 38 from three. This has been the most prolific three-point shooting team in the association this season. And the Jazz put that on display last night. 22 bombs on the Lakers, who were in the game for a quarter. It was 24-23 after one. It got away in the second quarter, and the Lakers never got it back.
Well, what happened to them is they got their asses whooped. That's what's happened to the purple and gold last night. And what you mentioned there about the Jazz hitting threes, that's always kind of been their bugaboo over the years. They're very good defensively. They have the best post center in the game in Rudy Gobert. So your guards and your wings can gamble a little bit to try to force turnovers because you got a shot eraser underneath. But the problem was they just couldn't score in crunch time. And you look at this, 22 threes and really from all over. Donovan Mitchell, but also add in Bogdanovich, Royce O'Neal, Joe Ingles, George Niang, Jordan Clarkson is a good bucket getter off the bench. So they've got a lot of guys that can score points now, and they actually have some depth. So Utah is absolutely for real right now. 26-6 now overall, 24-7-1 against the number.
Yeah, the guys bombing threes last night for the Jazz. Nick Bogdanovich hit five. Oh, that's his brother Bogdan. Mike Conley hit four. Jordan Clarkson hit four. Donovan Mitchell, O'Neal, and Niang hit two apiece. 22, adds up to 22 threes last night. Joe Ingles only hit one. So right. Joe Ingles, a guy you would typically think, well,
he's the most reliable.
Yeah,
too.
If he hit 22, he probably hit five. He only had one three last night for the Jazz. But it was a pretty impressive offensive performance by Utah, 114-89. JVT was on the show with us yesterday. I agreed with him. I thought the number was an overreaction up to nine, and we turned out to be wrong on that. But game stays under the total of 219, and Jazz a minus 420 on the money line. How about that? Against the defending champs, Jazz minus 420, get there easily last night with a 25-point win in Salt Lake City. Let's look at a couple games tonight, Wes, and get your thoughts on the Mavericks and the Sixers. I think probably the main event, the game of the night in the NBA, Philadelphia minus 5, total of 229. That's the number right now at Circus Sports.
Yeah, and I'm waiting to hear Porzingis' status. I expect that this total is going to drop. And now, in fact, he has been downgraded to doubtful. Total hasn't dropped yet, which surprises me a little bit. That would be where I would lean in this spot. Nothing really on the side. I think 5 is about the right number. And because, you know, with Sixers, you're always having that risk of, okay, who's going to play, who's not going to play. As of now, looks like everybody's a go, but that can obviously change about a half hour before game time, and all of a sudden Simmons or Embiid is setting out. So lean a little bit to the under at this spot at 229.
Mavericks 15-15, a break-even team right now, straight up underwater against the spread, 13-17 ATS. The highest total on the board tonight, Wes, Pelicans and Bucks in Milwaukee. And the Bucks are 8.5-point home favorites, 242.5 is the highest total I see out there, and that's at DraftKings right now.
Yeah, I guess why would you go under with the Pelicans? Trend is your friend. Keep it going until it doesn't hit. I certainly couldn't play it. I think offensively they've gotten better under Van Gundy, but defensively they just have not recovered. So not going to try to get in the way of that train. One of the things I've been doing a little bit in the NBA and having some success with is when you get these real high scores in the first half, you know, 70-68, yep, go ahead and play that second half under a little bit. And that's actually the way I'm playing unders. I'm not playing a lot of pre-flop, pre-game unders here. I'm kind of waiting for an in-game or a second half spot, because I think those are the only way to hit those. They're just not putting these totals high enough, or if they are, they're soaring over.
Who would you call the hottest team in the league right now if it's not the Utah Jazz?
Probably the Brooklyn Nets.
Brooklyn Nets had a really successful West Coast trip, came home, won their first game. They are back in action tonight. The Nets, 8.5-point favorites over the Orlando Magic, who have been a disappointment for the most part. Total of 228.
Yeah, and I had the Kings the other night against the Nets on the first trip home. Didn't get there. Ended up not covering by a couple. But would lean a little bit here with Orlando again in the spot. They had a disappointing loss to Detroit on Tuesday night by double digits. So maybe a decent spot for Orlando. Money's moving that way a little bit.
All right, Wes Reynolds, great analysis on the NBA. Check out the golf leaderboard right now. A lot of big names on top up in Bradenton. You and I have some players in the mix. We'll talk about that next as WGC event in Bradenton is well underway, about halfway through the first round. We'll come back, talk golf, and more news in the NFL.
And I'm Danielle Avari here at VSiN, the sports betting network. We're on top of all the sports on today's schedule to help you become a sharper better for every game on the board. We're not just about picks and predictions. We give you the analysis and insights you need to become a smarter better on every sport. We have the best handicappers in the business giving you the tools you need to create your own betting edge. And right now, for only $50, you can put our experts to work for you all the way through the College Hoops Finals. You get everything we offer, including our members-only daily best bets email, point spread weekly guides with up-to-date power rankings, the upcoming bracket betting guide, and of course, all access to vsin.com. Sign up today to get everything we offer through the end of the College Hoops tournament for only $50 at vsin.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right, what's happening with J.J. Watt? Dynamite.
That's good times. What's happening was a rerun and Raj.
I know. Good times for any team that signs J.J. Watt. And looks like it might not be the Steelers. John Clayton reported that there are three finalists in the J.J. Watt sweepstakes. And he said that Tennessee, Green Bay, and Buffalo were the leading teams for J.J. Watt, but not the final three. He tweeted this out of John Clayton, NFL. Watt has not narrowed his list. The Browns are still in. So are the Raiders. He has a dozen teams after him, but looks like the Titans, Packers, and Bills look like the leaders at this point, and the Steelers maybe still in the mix, but not one of the favorites, despite the fact his brothers play in Pittsburgh. The numbers are up at Bet Rivers. Where will J.J. Watt play next? The Browns, the favorites, plus 150. Packers and Steelers at 9-2, and the Bills at 8-1. The Raiders not even on the list at Bet Rivers. But a big day for the Raiders, Wes, as we hear the J.J. Watt and Russell Wilson interested in playing for Las Vegas. But where do you think J.J. Watt, which team should be favored? Where do you think he's going to end up?
I think the two teams that are favored are the rightful favorites right now of Cleveland and Green Bay. Of course, J.J. played his college football at Wisconsin. Packers are clearly, at least he wants to go to a contender, and they're actually right there. I mean, being that they were the runner-ups in the NFC. Buccaneers are lower on the list, and I think that that's rightfully so. I'm guessing they would want to re-sign Shaq Barrett before they decide to seek another services of another player. So, look, Cleveland, Green Bay, I just don't know if I see Tennessee. And I know Tennessee, John Clayton reporting that they're one of the leading teams, but it's just hard to see maybe Tennessee, maybe not as much Tennessee, but Buffalo.
Right.
That would kind of surprise me to see him go to Buffalo.
That would surprise me too.
Maybe the dark horse is Tennessee at 11-1. Obviously, I think the Bears, they've got enough issues in terms of trying to get a quarterback and try to replace their receivers because they got to re-sign Allen Robinson, or maybe they don't have to, but they've got a lot of holes to fill. So I don't see their odds being much shorter than this. So Browns, Green Bay, Tennessee, maybe a dark horse could be Tampa Bay, but I got to think Shaq Barrett's going to get the first crack at that money.
Oh, no doubt about it. So also on the list, the Bears, you said at 12-1, Buccaneers, Colts at 14-1, Ravens, Cowboys each at 22-1 with the Chiefs. Those odds are up at Bet Rivers, and we will talk more NFL in the second hour, including the Russell Wilson soap opera, as apparently he wants out of Seattle. He's not demanding a trade, Wes, but he's put so much stuff out there that
how very passive-aggressive of Russell
Wilson. He's basically asking for a trade, kind of like Aaron Rodgers hinted at that after the Packers season. Tiger Woods is not going to be golfing again for a long time, unfortunately. We're going to miss him at the Masters and all the other majors this year. Wes, hate to speculate on when Tiger might come back, but do you think it's going to hurt the betting handle on the four majors this year not to have Tiger involved? I think that money probably just gets spread out to other players. I think it's going to help, or it's going to hurt for viewership purposes and just for general interest not to have him out there.
Moderate decline maybe in the handle, but I don't think it'll be substantial. I still think from the television rating standpoint, absolutely. But I still think you have enough stars and enough big names in the game that they're going to be able to at least somewhat maintain here. For the Masters, I think more than any other, it probably hurts the interest.
We had a Rory McIlroy quote on Tiger Woods. Let's throw it up there. And I saw this on Twitter from Golf Digest. And Wes, you can go ahead and recite the quote from Rory, because I think it sums up how a lot of people feel about the Tiger Woods situation.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll just paraphrase it here. Obviously, here's the quote on the screen. I think everyone should just be grateful that he's here, that he's alive, that his kids haven't lost their dad. That's the most important thing. Golf is so far from the equation right now, it's not even on the map at this point. And I think Rory, as he usually is, very candid about his comments and very correct about his comments. I think, look, the first and foremost is obviously the fact that he survived. And then next step would be quality of life. I mean, talking about if he's going to play golf again, how about when he's going to be able to walk normally again, when he's going to be able to do things in his day-to-day life before he really gets out on the golf course. So I would lean towards saying that we're probably not going to see him the rest of the calendar year here in 2020.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to be interested in Tiger Woods' comeback story for sure. Now, I don't think you're going to see him in 2021.
No.
Hopefully a year from now, he might be close to making some sort of comeback. But anyway, as far as Rory McIlroy goes, he's in action today at the WGC event in Bradenton, Florida. This is a Workday Championship at the Concession, a Jack Nicklaus design course. And Rory, 3-under, and he's in today at a tie for 11, 3-under 69. Wes, a lot of big names and some guys we bet near the top of the leaderboard. So this is going to be an interesting weekend in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. And here your leaders in the clubhouse, Matt Fitzpatrick and Webb Simpson, both in at 66. So six under par. Both guys really good on their approaches today near the top of the leaderboard there. Brooks Koepka and Billy Horschel. Koepka in, Horschel on 18 here at five under. Cameron Smith, one of my guys, the mullet man, he did bogey 18, but four under par, really putted very well today. Garcia, Tony Finau, Wade Ormsby, four under par. Also a guy, I bet, Sungjae Im, four under par. He did bogey two par fives, too.
Wow.
So if he doesn't bogey those and just gets par, he's right in there at six under par. So I think he's probably still live in terms of his live odds. John Rahm and Tony Finau, by the way, still on the course at four under, two holes to play. They're at a par five right now, so maybe finish five under.
Yeah, you talked me into a Sungjae Im bet. So I made that at, 42 to 1, 40 or 42 to 1. I also had one of the guests we had on mentioned Webb Simpson, so I played him. And those aren't two of my guys. I can't take credit for them if they win. But I got Joaquin Niemann at three under right now. He's in the hunt. He was tied for the lead early today. Xander Schauffele at one under. He's still in the hunt. You've got 30 right now, 43 players under par. Justin Thomas, not one of them. Max Homa, not one of them. But who's really blown up today, Wes? Who's taking themselves out? Matthew Wolf and who else?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, that's right. Bryson DeChambeau, six over par. Wow. All right, we come back. We got a lot to talk about in college hoops tonight, and we'll do that next.
Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert, live from the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds.
All right, Wes, UNLV went down in an upset last night here in Las Vegas. Rebels were seven-point favorites over Fresno State. I debated all day yesterday, should I take the points with Fresno? What should I do with this game? Finally took the points late before tip, before just for a small bet last night, and the Rebels went down. They blew a late lead and lost to Fresno State. And T.J. Otzelberger, the second-year coach of the Rebels, I think is a disaster. Tweeted this last night on my Twitter page. That was bad basketball. Otzelberger might be the worst coach in the Mountain West. Not sure how you'd rank him higher than ninth. He definitely got out-coached by Justin Hudson of Fresno State last night. There's some pretty good coaches in the Mountain West. Otzelberger's not one of them. And for some reason, Iowa State wants this guy. And I understand he's got Midwest roots, Wes, but why do you want T.J. Otzelberger? I haven't seen him do anything. He had the best player in his conference, Mike Dom, and that was the only reason he won previous to the UNLV.
Remember that year they got upset? I think it was Western Illinois in that Summit League tournament when they were the number one seed.
And as a 14-point favorite, lost in the first round.
With the Dominator. And Justin
Hudson.
That was
a South Dakota State.
Yeah. Hudson, a former UNLV assistant, right? Yeah. I know he was also at San Diego State. So they get the win last night. I know you took full game. I took first half on Fresno. Really, UNLV, they were scoring at the rim and scoring inside. Why are they taking any threes? 3 of 15 for a stellar 20% for the Rebels and also didn't get to the line very much. So, you know, I didn't expect them to do damage in the Mountain West, but I expected that they would be a little bit better than they are.
Yeah, that total yesterday was around 130 and a half. Closed 131 here. Well, it lands right on 131. 67-64. Fresno State plus 240 on the money line. Gets the win. Bryce Hamilton, big night for UNLV, but it's just no coaching. It was Bryce Hamilton. UNLV stopped going inside and put the ball in Bryce Hamilton's hands and said, just dribble around and get a shot. It was kind of James Harden type of basketball, and it didn't work. I guess Iowa State's desperate, right? When you're 2-17 and winless in the Big 12, you'll take any young coach that people think is good.
Yeah, absolutely. So we shall see what they do there in Ames, but it's not going very well right here in Las Vegas. Maybe they'll give him another year and give him a chance, but this team's been a big disappointment.
No question. All right, also a disappointment, Archie Miller. Mm-hmm. And this hits home for you, Wes. Sorry, mm-hmm. I don't want to really upset you in the middle of the show, but Indiana had a big lead last night, 23-11. You thought, all right, the Hoosiers showed up on the road in the game they have to win, two teams on the NCAA tournament bubble. What happened to the Hoosiers?
Indiana, second game in a row, gets out to a big start, 23-8, and then all of a sudden you see him doing the chest bump and the leaps on the bench, thinking, okay, this team's going to quit. Archie Miller even talked about that on his radio show this week. Like, I think we thought Michigan State, it was almost like he thought that they were going to give up. Well, they weren't, and neither was Rutgers, 23-8. And then all of a sudden it was 70-50, a 62-27 run. It was a 20-point game. I think at the under four timeout, Indiana made it a little bit more cosmetic to only lose by 11. But look, I think this Indiana team, and I often hate to use this word because I think we often overuse it, but they looked like they quit last night. And you mm-hmm. can see it at the end of the first half. Rutgers was up two. Indiana gets a stop. Trayce Jackson-Davis gets the rebound with about 5 seconds left to go, holds it above his head instead of protecting the ball. And what happens, Rutgers looks like they're going back on defense, and one of their players, it might have been McConnell or McKay, he strips the ball, lays it in, 35-31. That actually covered the first half for Rutgers because Rutgers was a two-point favorite. And you could just see Indiana's body language when they were going to the locker room. And it's like, these guys are done. And they got absolutely boat raced. It was 70-50 with about 3 minutes to go in the ball game. And look, this was a game both teams needed, and it looked like Rutgers was playing with more urgency. And now Indiana, 12-11, 7-9, we'll get to that later, firmly implanted on the bubble. This is not going well with Archie Miller. It's just not working. And I'm not trying to take personal shots at the guy. I think he's probably a nice guy and he knows his ball, but it's not happening. And this is a results-oriented business. So Indiana maybe wanting to – Scott Dolson, the AD there, may want to look in his desk and see – every AD has a list of potential coaches if they were available. Pull it out right now and take a look at it.
You can have T.J. Otzelberger. You want him?
No.
Want him in Bloomington?
No.
Sure.
Positive.
Get him for a discount price.
Positive.
Okay. Trade him and the football coach. You can have them both from UNLV. You can have them both in a package deal. A lot of things when I'm handicapping college basketball, I like to fade who I think are weak coaches. Archie Miller is a weak coach.
Yes.
T.J. Otzelberger is a weak coach. And usually that turns out to be a pretty good system or an angle when you're betting college hoops. Tonight, Nebraska and Illinois, I don't think you got weak coaches here. Fred Hoiberg, Brad Underwood. But you do have a weakened Illinois team because Ayu Dosunmu is not going to be on the floor tonight. The star guard for the Illini, they are off the loss at Michigan State, a lopsided loss at Michigan State. And Illinois, a 13.5-point home favorite, total of 145.5. And Wes, the Illini had to go to overtime to beat the Huskers in Lincoln couple of weeks ago.
They did, and look, unfortunately I missed the number here. I would have liked Nebraska, but it moved before I could get it. Could maybe sponsor a play on the over here. I'm probably not going to make it. I mean, you would want to say, okay, Dosunmu is such a ball dominant player, so you want to go under without him, but teams usually are able to replace offense. It's usually mm-hmm. for at least a one game basis.
Right.
It's usually the defense they can't replace. So lean to the over here. It's got up to about 145.5, some 146s out there, but probably going to take a pass on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to pass at this number. I did take a little bit better number last night, 15.5 with Nebraska when I found out that Dosunmu was going to be out tonight. And I got to thank Sammy Panayanovich for passing that information on. He's an Illini guy. Northwestern in Minnesota, Gophers, 4.5-point home favorites, total of 140. One, can the Wildcats get off the snide here? They were just blown out by Wisconsin over the weekend up in Evanston.
You've got all the connections with all the information. Nobody ever gives me this information, so that's all right, though. But anyway,
You've got your pro wrestling insiders, and I've got college hoops.
Yeah, I'll trade you. Yours is more profitable. Northwestern, Minnesota, lean to the under here. Minnesota's still a little bit shorthanded. No Liam Robbins. Gabe Kalscher, their point guard, is out for a few weeks. So would lean a little bit more of the under. Of course, Northwestern just trying to beat anybody. Minnesota also right on that bubble with Indiana, kind of looking at the various bracketologists from across the country. And a lot of people have Minnesota's last four in or first four out or whatever category you want to call them. So, look, they got hammered at home against Illinois, very shorthanded on Saturday. And only team that was able to beat them at home this year was Maryland. I mean, they'd been unbeatable up there at the barn. And then all of a sudden, Illinois whacked them by 30. So Northwestern's getting the support off the opener. I would kind of look at the under here in this spot. I think Northwestern will do whatever they have to do just to get a win because they haven't had one in about a couple months. I think, what's that streak now? 13 straight losses here after a 3-0 start. So I could see them maybe wanting to slow it up. And Minnesota might also be wanting to do that because it's like, okay, we need a win to keep our tournament hopes. These guys know, I think, when they're on the bubble. So I could see a lower scoring game here. I thought 141 was a bit high.
All right, let's go to the Pac-12, Wes. I'm going to start with UCLA, Utah. Bruins now 1-point favorites in Salt Lake City, total of 135.5.
Yeah, I passed on this one. I couldn't really figure out what I wanted to do. UCLA, though, has won 3 in a row now, and all of a sudden it looked like USC was going to put some distance in between everybody. Mm-hmm. UCLA is just a half game back here in the Pac-12 to win that regular season title and be that number one seed here at T-Mobile Arena right here in Las Vegas. So,
can be any fans at those games? Can we get 10 or 15%?
What do you think? Can we get some credentials, man?
It'd be nice to get out there. And I was headed to the Pac-12 tournament last year when I got the text, it's called off, it's canceled, go back home. And I have not been to a live sporting event since. That was middle of March last year. Pac-12 tournament returning to Las Vegas. You said it, though, at the top of the conference, it looked like USC was going to wrap this thing up. Mm-hmm. Trojans got blown out at home by Arizona last weekend. UCLA pulls off a ridiculous comeback to beat Arizona State, down 77-70 late in the game. Mm-hmm. That was a collapse by the Sun Devils. So the Bruins are alive. But they've been shorthanded recently. I don't like them as much as I did early in the season.
This is a little bit of a fishy line, too. Yeah. UCLA's won 3 in a row. Utah's lost 3 in a row. But Utah has crept up on some teams this year. They've upset Arizona. They've upset Colorado. So, I don't know. This looks a little small to me. I'm probably going to end up passing. But I'd be careful with UCLA.
I actually like Utah a little bit in that spot tonight. Not sure if it's enough to bet it. But that's the Coach K I do like, Larry Krystkowiak. Utah's a tough team. USC, Colorado, quick analysis here because Kenny White talked about this one and obvious implications at the top of the Pac-12. Colorado, 3 or 3.5 at home over the Trojans.
Trojans have the revenge here, but a small lean to the Buffaloes here at home. They've been very good at home, actually, this year. Just one loss. That was to the aforementioned Utah Utes, who we just talked about. So, number looks about right, but kind of looking Colorado here in the spot, I think that revenge factor could be baked into the line a little bit. It has moved a little bit toward the Buffaloes, and that's where I'd go.
Oregon-Stanford, interesting game. Ducks just embarrassed by USC. Now 2.5-point favorites at Stanford.
Stanford, another bubble team, kind of one of those last four in, first four out. It has been bet accordingly to Oregon. Still think there might be a little bit of value at the money line at about minus 140, and that's where I'm going to go. I just think Oregon really got blitzed early at USC. I think, what did they get down, like 15-0?
15-0 before I could even flip the TV on. I had Oregon +4. They ended up losing by 14, but it's never a game. Wes, let's wrap it up with this. We got a lot more college hoops to talk in hour number two. Late tonight, 8 p.m. tip on the West Coast. Washington State at Arizona, and the Cats laying 9, total of 140.
Lean Washington State here. Arizona, by the way, almost done with their season because they cannot play in the Pac-12 tournament nor the NCAA tournament. So question that motivation a little bit late in the season.
That's late night, Pac-12 after dark. We'll talk a lot more college hoops in hour number two. On deck, warming up, Derek Stevens and Mike Palm. Stay tuned.